Well, Phyllis, if you could tell us something about Werner Schneider.
He was the sponsor of our class. And I can't think of the name of the other one. But it was one of the women. But anyway, so in that way, I got to know him quite well. And not real well, but he just was a person that I enjoyed. And he had a good broad aspect of life, and he had a good sense of humor. And all the people that took classes from him liked him. So I guess that's probably about all I know about him. Pa Needham was principal at that time. And of course, probably since Bill was in our class, we all felt very close to Pa, because he took more of an interest in our class because of Bill. I don't know that, but everybody loved him. He was just great. And went through his sadness with him. He lost a wife, and then he married again and lost another one and married again, and finally lost her. So he just had a lot of sadness. Some of that was after I got out of school. But Paul was very special. He was a real good person.
And what was his son Bill like? Because Bill went into education also, didn't he?
Yes, he did. Bill was an all-around good fellow. He was the center of the football team, big, great big guy. And he could smile and laugh and have the best time that you ever saw. And he can't remember where he went to school. He may have gone to the University of Colorado. I don't know. Anyway, yes, he did go into education. And the last address I had for him was in Florida. I think he died in Florida. His wife, I think, is still there. But that's all I know about Bill since school. I was in Bill's class. We were together from the first grade on. So we knew each other pretty well in school.
Any other classmates that you can remember?
Oh, yes. I keep up with a good many of them. There's two in Durango now that Louis Baudino is Western Colorado Power Company man, and his sister, Lena Baudino, Babby, B-A-B-E-Y, lives in Durango. And Gwen Tornblum Rutt is her last name now, lives in Durango. And then Ed Thompson, I see some others still live here, all out of our class. And then there are others that live in other places in Colorado and California. Would it be of any interest to?
Well, can you tell us more about Louis Baudino, especially since we have
Louis, I understand, is right now out at Four Corners Health Center. I talked with Lena, and apparently he has developed a bone cancer. And I asked her if his if his mind was okay and if he could remember, you know, and all of that. And she said yes. So I would suggest that he might be somebody that you should talk with. You'd probably maybe have to go out there. Mm-hmm. But he would perhaps be able to fill in a lot of gaps. Mm-hmm. He's the one that succeeded Dad, and I believe he's the one that brought some of the, maybe all of the photographs up here. Mm-hmm. But you might want to do that pretty soon.
Yeah.
Then let me see. What else of interest?
Well, tell me about your, so many of the photos that we have of your dad's period seem to have been taken by your dad.
Well, he never left the house without his camera. And he always had it because he felt the need for taking pictures of lines as they were constructed. And then he always marked them where they were. What does a line look like? You know, a line is a line is a line. And the dates, and his camera had a date on it. So he had an exceedingly good record of the power company activities. Any detail, I don't know. The pictures of the plants are excellent. Mm-hmm. The one at Ilium, I can remember so well. We used to play on the Ilium letters in cement out in the lawn, and Ames, Tacoma, and the Durango plant. While I lived in Durango, I probably went to the Durango plant least of all. I didn't have any reason to go there because I went with him when he went out of town.
Mm-hmm.
So I probably know least about that from a ICE perspective.
Mm. Huh. Well, what did Durango look like in the 30s?
The Burns building was there, the Newman building, and the building across the street, what is that was there, it's the... it's now the, and it looks like it's got a new section on it. It's where the first National Bank was, or the National, I can't think of the name of that, but.
Is that near where Woolworths was?
The Woolworths is in the next block.
Next block.
Yeah, all of those, the people that were in those buildings are all different now, mm-hmm. of course. But the building looks pretty much the same. Woolworths was in between 8th and 9th, I believe, and Graydon's was down on the corner of 8th, and there was a bank across the street from them. Sluter Florist is still here. Let's see. I didn't really see any other. Garden Schwartz's name is still here, but it's owned by different people. And it's located in a different place. Garden Schwartz used to be on the west side of Maine, right next to the bank building. Oh no, that's North. that was the building that the power company was in.
Hmm.
Yeah, that was the building that the offices were in. The power company was up in the next block. It had a sales office where they displayed the ranges and all of that.
Mm.
I can tell you something that might be of interest. When Mother was, this would have been in about probably 25 to 27 or 8, or along in there, when electric ranges, you see, Durango had power much earlier than many, many other areas.
Mm-hmm.
I never knew a house without power. Electric lights, electric range. We didn't always have a refrigerator. We had ice brought in. But I never lived in a house that had coal stove or a cook stove. And I've met friends who never had power till maybe in the 40s and 50s, other places in the country. So this was far ahead of other places. And in fact, the arc lights in Durango were changed over to electric lights early, like in about the early 20s, I don't know just when. So that means that we had electric range, we cooked by power, we had gas, natural gas furnace, central heat. And so Mother learned to cook, you know, and in order to demonstrate and to sell the electric ranges, she and May Clay and some of the others would have demonstrations at the power company office where they displayed these things. And the women would just come in by flocks to come into these classes. And they would demonstrate, particularly, they would make angel food cakes. And oh my goodness, those cakes would come out wonderfully high, much better than the box ones do now. And they would then, of course, serve them. But what they were doing was showing the ladies how good the electric, I think they sold Hot Point at that time, how good these ovens were. And so they made more angel food cakes than you ever heard of. And she did that for a long time. And then they would cook other things. But that was the way they started serving this area with the appliances.
So was she doing that as an employee?
No,
she just volunteered.
I think they just volunteered.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Do you think that, did the company make a commission on its sales of...
I have no idea about that. I just know that they were interested in doing it.
Huh.
I was a little tyke, and I didn't pay any attention to commission or cost or anything
That's
at
right.
that point.
Yeah. Now, can you remember, you probably might be behind too early, but when the airport came up to Reservoir Hill for the
post, oh, that's not too
1929?
Early. That's not too early. The first time, well, the airport, the strip was there. They built the strip. And in about 23 or something like that, I was pretty young. 1919, that would have made me four. I was probably maybe six or seven. A Ford Motor triplane came in. And for $5, they'd fly up over the city and then come back in. And so Dad let Helen and me go up. And so we had our 5-minute trip over the, and that was my first flight. It was an old Ford Motor triplane. And I guess it was maybe the first plane that came in here, I'm not sure of that. But Will Rogers and Wiley Post plane, when was that, in 29?
Well, I know that the municipal airport opened here in 1929, and I don't quite remember when it was that they flew through here.
I've forgotten that too. Yeah. But the strip was built before it was really an airport. They had a SOC, and that's about all. I don't think there was even a building up there. Mm. And it was long enough for the triplane to come in and take off. Mm. And then there were a few planes that came in, and I'm not aware of when it really became an airport.
Yeah. Can you remember what Durango looked like when you were flying over?
Oh, yeah, it was little. It was little all the time I lived here. We lived at 575 East 8th Street, and the house looks pretty much like it did, although they've added on. It had a separate garage, and it's now joined. But that whole block looks essentially the same as it did. Really, going up and down and riding around the streets, the houses, except for being well-maintained, are pretty much the same, except that the outlying areas, you know, they've just expanded. But this center of town, most, there weren't any vacant lots. They were really pretty well filled in with houses in that, oh, from 9th, 8th, 7th, 6th, all the way down from about 8th Avenue down to Main Street. It was pretty well all filled in. Mm-hmm. A few vacant lots, but not much. And then, but the outlying areas, up where the cemetery is, and their new area that I got lost in the other day, and out Florida, and out that way, that's just, that was nothing. There weren't any houses out there. Mm-hmm. So that's been the big development.
Were there lots of trees in the main town area, like there are now?
Has always had beautiful trees. That's always been a nice street. Uh-huh. The churches are still in about the same places. I mean, they're same denominations, and they look about the same. Mm-hmm. Some minor changes. When you get in, they look different. But mm-hmm. Pretty
now,
much the same.
I gathered that there was a line basically at 6th Street, and that south of 6th Street was more ethnic minorities living there. Closer toward the smelter, is that true?
I think that's true. I would have said 4th Street, but 6th, there were several Italian families that lived from 6th Street down. And then, as I mentioned, the Mexican flats. I think I was wrong when I was talking about where the park is. I don't think that was Mexican flats. I think what I was talking about Mexican flats is about north or whatever it is.
Across
4th.
Across the highway from Bodo Park now, maybe. Along the river.
Well, I don't know where Bodo Park is.
Yeah. Kind of where the Durango Mall is. Along the river.
Well, we drove down it the other day. I would say south of 4th to the river was the old Mexican flats that I was thinking about. And so that doesn't take in that parkway that we were in.
Yeah. What did that look like?
Kind of like it does now.
Uh-huh.
Only probably not as well maintained.
Uh-huh.
Maybe smaller houses, but very much like it does now. I think it probably wasn't. I think it was poorer looking.
Uh-huh.
You know, there wasn't much work for them, and there wasn't the welfare then that there is now. They just didn't have the money that they could have now. I don't know what they're doing. They're probably all on welfare. I don't know. But, yeah, I think it was poorer looking then than it is now.
And what did Mexican flats look like?
Poor houses, little houses, old paint. Very few of them have had new paint. Poorly maintained. And lots of children living in the families that were living there. Kids all over the streets and playing and so forth.
Yeah. So you left Durango to go to D.C. in 1942. So that was probably pretty much the your last memories of living in Durango.
That's true.
Been around
That's true.
Early part.
I've been back to visit as long as Dad was here. We've been back probably two or maybe three times. And then I've been back since then two or three times.
Well, how do you think it has changed?
It's grown. I think the growth has been good. The town looks prosperous. And the businesses look like they're really, really doing good business. Of course, this is the tourist season. I don't know how it is in the winter, but perhaps the skiing keeps it as prosperous looking as it is now. But yeah, I don't think the growth has been bad. It doesn't look to me like it's crowded, but it doesn't look to me like it's been overcrowded, because there's enough land available that the expansion has just gone out from the center of town. So I'm not unhappy with seeing Durango like it is now. It looks good to me.
Well, what are some of your favorite memories from those years when you lived here, when you think back about it? What was wonderful about being here?
I guess the mountains and the blue sky and the wonderful weather, the dryness and the... I just get exhilarated when I'm here. Yeah. It's just... it's been a... And I don't have any special memories. I think the climate and the beauty of Durango and surrounding areas, because I've been able to see some of the more areas that are out of the way more than most people see by going with Dad, and those mountains don't change. They're always the same, so they're going to be the same. If I could get to them today, they'd be the same. So I just love being up there. I love the storms. I love that storm the other night. Two nights ago, three, whenever it was, cracking lightning. I couldn't even count it. It had to be about a quarter or half mile away. And I've been up at, I guess it was the Gold King Mine. That's at about 11,000 feet. And I've been in storms up there. And that, all the transmission lines are all every place. And the lightning just plays off of those transmission lines. And it's just like being in a theater with flash, like they do now, you know, with these flashing lights and everything. Beautiful. I just love it. It doesn't scare me. I could stand right in the middle of it. And I'd probably strike me dead, but I'd die happy.
Were there any dangerous moments for you or your dad or your mom or your sister?
Oh, I guess probably the most dangerous was driving up those roads when you had to back around and one tire off and then get the other one. That was kind of scary, and yet I never worried about it. I knew he was going to make it okay.
That's good. Well, Phyllis, before we finish, I think it might be good if you could tell us about your work later when you were in North Carolina working at the beginning of the Research Triangle.
I started working for Romeo Guest Associates for the vice president, who was Romeo Guest. And for him, he was a person who was willing to train someone to come along behind him. And with him, I learned to do the statistical reports and the analytical things that were needed for site selection for industrial companies going into North Carolina. The construction company received its contracts by doing the site selection as a way to get the construction contract without cost to the owners of the industry. So we did a lot of that and got a lot of contracts in that way. I traveled to meet with lots of governors and state people to see what the states, what the incentives might be in the various states. I made one time a 11-state visit, clear out to Colorado and Idaho, and not Idaho, Iowa, and on back into the southeast in locating one of the Sunbeam plants. And so that work was very interesting to me as I learned to do it. But along at that time, about in 50, Romeo Guest had the thought that the only way that North Carolina was ever going to have a real solid tax base and improve its status for wages and drawing people or keeping people into the state as labor force would be to encourage research people, research firms to come into the state. So he looked at the area where Duke, North Carolina State, and the University of North Carolina formed a triangle, just a natural geographic triangle. And he started thinking about what to do with that. So he and Walter Harper, who was with the state of North Carolina, and I sat down and talked it over, and we had many sessions of just tossing out ideas and seeing how it might fit together, how we would work it. And finally decided the thing to do was to try to start buying up pieces of land, little farms, little tree areas, whatever there was. Some of them were not bigger than an acre, some of them were 10 acres. And we finally put together, and nobody knew what this was all about, but the farmers were interested, or the people that owned the property were interested in selling their land. So they sold it, and we put together 5,200 acres. And every piece of land we got, I'd put a different color piece of paper on the land that we'd outlined for the research triangle. And we finally got it all filled in. And then Romeo took it to the state, to the governor, who was Luther Hodges at that time, and he bought the idea, and it was taken forward at that time, and it became, and Romeo named it Research Triangle of North Carolina. So it is now known as Research Triangle. It was well received by the research firms. A lot of them have moved in there. I was there in about when? Probably 88. And it's a beautiful park. It's just lovely. The firms, the buildings are pretty. It's well maintained. The grass is nice. The landscaping is good. It's developed. There's a post office in a little town outside it. And it's a very well accepted area, and the tax base of North Carolina has come way, way up. It's far better than the other southeastern states. So it was a fun thing for me to be involved in that, and to be one of the ones who had the original interest in it.
Mm. That's wonderful. Yeah. Well, thinking back over all your years, is there anything else you want to share with us?
Well, I guess the thing that has made my life fun, and my life has been great. There are several people who have really been helpful to me. Dad was one of them. Pa Needham was one of them. Romeo Guest was one of them. Charlie Wilson, who was at the Continental Illinois National Bank, was my boss there. They seemed to be all men, but they were the ones who were willing to give me an opportunity to learn and to succeed in a job. And then my husband, Barney Case, was a chemical engineer, and I learned a tremendous amount from him. He just was willing to teach me and more things than I have ever known before. We lived on acreage in Oregon, and I learned to garden, and I'd never gardened before. And he loved to cook, and he put his chemistry into the kitchen, and we canned and did all kinds of things, so that was fun. And I don't know, just the memories of my life. I'm a Christian, and I just I know that God has led me in this direction. And it's just been great. I had good friends all along the way, Liz Blake I've known for since 1942, and we've stayed in touch and friends for all those years.
That's great that you could travel together and do this mm-hmm. elder hostel together.
Mm-hmm. So it's just been I've had a good life.
Yeah. Well, thank you so much for sharing these thoughts about it. It's just one slice about your rich life, but it's useful. It'll be useful for researchers to hear that perspective about
thank you. Thanks.
Durango and all that.
Thank you for the opportunity, and I appreciate it.
Yeah. Well, good.